Welcome back to another episode of 5 Minutes in Church History. I am very excited about this episode because I have a good friend of mine who is a fellow church historian. We have on our program Dr. Michael Haken. Dr. Haken, welcome to our program.
Good to be here.
Dr. Haken is a professor of church history and also biblical spirituality at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. But you live in Toronto.
I do, yes.
You do?
Commute. It's a long commute.
Yes. And you teach church history and biblical spirituality. And I want to talk to you about one of your more recent books. You're very prolific, so it's hard to keep up with you, actually, Dr. Haken. But this is one of your more recent books. It's entitled 8 Women of Faith. It's published by Crossway. So you write on Jane Grey, and you write on Margaret Baxter. Who is she?
Margaret Baxter was the wife of the Puritan Richard Baxter.
You also write on Ann Steele, hymn writer.
Yeah, Ann Steele was a Baptist hymn writer.
You write on Esther Edwards Burr. She was the daughter
of Jonathan Edwards.
Of Jonathan Edwards. And of course, if you're writing on the daughter of Jonathan Edwards, we need to write on
Sarah,
the wife of Jonathan Edwards. So we have Sarah. We have Ann Dutton in this book. We have Ann Judson. She's the wife of Adoniram Judson.
Correct.
And then we also have a novelist.
Yeah, Jane Austen.
Jane Austen.
Who you wouldn't expect, but is a believer.
And there she is.
Yeah.
So of these women, let's pick one in particular that we can talk a little bit about.
Jane Grey. Yeah,
Jane Grey.
Yeah, she's a remarkable young woman. Was 15 or 16 when she was martyred. Born in a very tumultuous time, the time of the Reformation in England, born 1537, and would die in 1554. And you've got Henry VIII and all his wives and his break with the Church of Rome. And in the midst of this, you have this young woman, Jane Grey. Her parents are schemers. They send her to the court, hoping that she'll somehow get linked up with the future king, Edward, Edward VI. Who would be a significant force for Reformation. Calvin called him the young Josiah. They're hopeful that somehow, you know, marriage bells might be down the road, but that doesn't happen. But in that context, Jane has been exposed to the gospel. It's probably Catherine Parr, Henry VIII's last wife, who is instrumental in her awakening faith. And by the early 1530s, she's definitely a believer, corresponding with reformers on the continent. When Edward dies in 1553, he's very aware that the line of succession would run to his eldest sister, who is Mary, who is a diehard Roman Catholic. He doesn't want that. And his other sister, Elizabeth, who will become queen and will be a remarkable Protestant queen, she is regarded as illegitimate, and she was indeed. So he latches on to the idea of having Jane succeed him. And so he changes the order of succession in his will. And Jane is declared queen at his death in 1553 and is queen for about 9 days.
And then Mary does come to the throne.
Mary is not going to take this. And she raises an army in eastern England, marches on London, takes the capital, imprisons Jane, and in subsequent months becomes aware that she needs to remove Jane, partly for political reasons, but also because of Jane's faith. And a very significant dialogue takes place a few days before Jane's death, in which Mary sends her chaplain, John Feckenham, to convince Jane to renounce Protestantism, her evangelical convictions, and embrace Rome. And you can see they're debating the key issues of the Reformation. Here's
That's
this
amazing.
Young woman, 15
yes.
years old.
On trial for her life.
Exactly. Yeah.
And she's debating theology.
You know, things like the nature of the Lord's Supper, the authority of the Scriptures, the nature of the church, how we are saved. And she emphasizes we are saved by faith alone. It's just a tremendous little dialogue.
Well, there you go. Jane Grey, and she's joined by 7 other women from the pages of church history that you need to get to know. Dr. Haken, thanks for being with us, and thank you for this book. I'm Steve Nichols. Thanks for joining us for 5 Minutes in Church History. Well, I see we've got a little bit of time left, so here's a quote from George Whitefield. "I am nothing, I have nothing, and can do nothing without God. However, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And if it should please God to make me instrumental to do the least good, not unto me, but unto him, be all the glory."